We are a family.
More than 6 million strong.
In over 80 nations.
With Christ as our center.
We comfort the hurting.
We help the poor.
We visit the lonely.
We feed the hungry.
We embrace the outcast.
We welcome the immigrant.
We are a family.
We come from diverse backgrounds.
But are united in our calling.
To bring the good news.
To our neighborhoods.
And distant lands.
This calling is something we cannot do alone.
And so we form an alliance.
Somos una familia.
We are a family.
Praise God. We are a family. Not just the Rocky Mountain Alliance family, not just the larger Alliance family, but we are God's family. We are brothers and sisters because we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And that makes us one in Him. Isn't that a mystery? Apostle Paul says it's a profound mystery. Wow, that we are a family. We who are from different nations, we speak different languages, we look different. We are made one in Jesus. I feel doubly honored and delighted to be here with you this morning. As Pastor Kelly mentioned, my name is Jerrin Thomas, and I am super excited to worship the Lord together with you this special Sunday morning, Missions Weekend. I praise God for Pastor Kelly and Wendy and the children for their commitment for serving God here in Rocky Mountain House. Thank you for your hospitality in hosting me home last night. Also want to thank the pastoral team and the staff and the missions committee for your passion for God's kingdom and beautifully setting this weekend for Missions Weekend. It gives me a lot of delight in my heart to see these flags of different nations. But I don't see India there, so... but I see Pakistan there and so many other nations that are still unreached, that are close to the gospel. And I pray that that'll stir our hearts to pray and have a fresh burden for these people groups and nations that haven't yet heard the name of Jesus. I serve as a global mission catalyst with the Western Canadian District of the Alliance. I was born in Kerala, India, a southern state in India, brought up in Kuwait. My dad was pastoring a church in Kuwait for many years. We served in North India for 6 years and 4 years in the Arabian Gulf before coming to pastor a church in Toronto in 2015. So we've been in Canada for the last 7 years. We moved to Calgary right before COVID arrived to take up this new role at our district. For the last 2.5 years, I've been swimming in this abstract world, and praise God for the opportunity now to meet people in fellowship and worship and visit our churches. I bring greetings from our district superintendent, Reverend Brent Trask, and the entire district leadership team. We are a family of about 140 congregations spread all across Alberta and Northern Territories. We are also part of a larger Alliance family of around 440 churches all across Canada. We worship the Lord in different languages, languages like Arabic, Punjabi, Hindi, Vietnamese, Spanish, Tigrina, Mandarin, Cantonese, and also English, and 6 other languages. Aren't you excited to be part of a movement that God started around 130 years ago, which is still burning bright and impacting the globe for Jesus? Let's watch this video and what God is doing around the world through the larger Alliance family. about this video is that those countries that were once a mission field is now a mission force. Countries that received missionaries many years ago now are sending missionaries to other parts of the world on mission, everyone, everywhere, all the time. And Jesus is inviting each one of us to partner with him. How many of us can say, I'm all in. God, wherever you send me, whether in Canada or outside Canada, Jesus, I'm available. Use my hands, my feet, my eyes, my whole being for your glory. May that be our prayer as we fix our eyes on him and meditate on God's word. You saw the Canada team. When you look at the Canada team, we have around 24 nations that are mentioned there, missionaries serving in different places. Some of the close countries are not mentioned because of security reasons, but we have international workers from our district serving in very difficult parts of the world, very challenging environments. But even in the midst of those difficult, persecuted countries, God is doing amazing things. Churches are exploding, and God's hand is moving powerfully. We are grateful for your partnership in advancing the gospel through global ministries. Thank you for praying and supporting our international workers through Global Advance Fund. As I mentioned, we have around 65 international workers from our district. I know this church is closely connected to some of our international workers, and I hope in the coming months and years you will get an opportunity to hear from them firsthand. Thank you for the past many years of your faithful giving and your prayers. And that means a lot for God's kingdom. And on behalf of them, I want to thank you for sticking close in God's mission. Thank you for your sacrificial giving. And this helps them to carry out what God has entrusted them in different parts of the world. Also, thank you for giving to Jaffray Project. As Pastor mentioned, Jaffray Project is that doesn't go to support our existing international workers. Jaffray Project Fund is separated to start new work. For example, the new work that we have started last year is called Gateway. So five countries in the Gateway region, which is South Asia, which includes India. India has the largest unreached people groups in the world. India has around 4,635 people groups, out of which more than 2,000 people groups have never heard the name of Jesus. So by far, India has the largest unreached people groups. And sometimes in the next few months, India will become the largest populated nation in the world, which will overtake China. Indians are everywhere. So we see Gateway to the world. If you reach Indians, you can pretty much reach the entire world because they are so scattered. They are in different parts of the world. So that's a very strategic work that we are doing in Gateway. So your offering to Jaffray will enhance our work in the Gateway region. I'm grateful for your contributions. I know you may not have had the opportunity to visit some of these fields or meet these new people who have experienced the love of Jesus, but there's a day soon coming when we will be together in heaven, and you would know that your prayers and your support is never in vain. And Bible makes it very clear that your labor of the Lord is not in vain. And there's a day soon coming when we would worship Jesus around the throne, people from every tribe, every tongue, every language, worshiping him. What a day that's going to be. Oh, I long for that day when we would praise Jesus together. As Alliance, there is one prayer that binds all of us together, and that's our national vision prayer. And the prayer goes, O God, with all our hearts, we long for you. Come, transform us to be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and mission-focused people, multiplying disciples everywhere. Christianity came to India in AD 52 through Apostle Thomas. So if you find an Indian with a last name Thomas, it's almost sure that he's from the southern part of India because of the St. Thomas tradition. He came to the province in which I was born. And tradition and family history says my forefathers became Christians through the ministry of Apostle Thomas. Later, Apostle Thomas was speared to death by anti-Christians. He was not the last one to lay down his life for Jesus in India. Thousands and thousands have given their life to Jesus in India over the last many centuries. It is Tertullian who said, "The blood of the martyrs is a seed of the church." Today, in the midst of persecution and struggles, thousands are coming to the Lord in India. Local indigenous churches are growing exponentially. Did you know that we have an IW international worker couple from Calgary, along with their three children, working closely with our indigenous partners in India? And by the way, last week they came back to Canada because of the visa difficulty. They were asked to pack up their bags and leave the country in 2 weeks' time. They just moved to a new apartment in India, northern part of India, and they were asked to leave and apply for a fresh visa to go back to India. So they're back in Calgary applying for a new visa to go back, and I would appreciate your prayers for them. They are like a hub for us in India in supporting and working closely hand-in-hand with our partners. Our work in Gateway is all through indigenous churches and organizations. Let's watch this video. I know some of you watched this video in the previous week, but this will give us a snapshot of what we are doing in Gateway.
The following may seem outrageous, but trust me, it's an underestimation. I want you to stop, clear your mind, and be open to a reality happening right now that might be new to you. The global population growth is outpacing the rate at which the church is reaching people by a growing margin. As an example, India alone grows by the equivalent of Canada's population every 18 months, and only 5% of India lives in areas reached with the gospel. Roughly 4 out of every 10 people on the planet not only have never heard the good news, but they don't even have access to it. There's no local pastor, no Christian radio, no alpha group, no church. It's like Paul writes to the church in Rome. How can someone believe in something they've never heard? And how will they hear if there's no one to tell them? So now what? I get it. You're already tackling so many critical needs in your community and around the world. Compassion cannot sleep. But we have an opportunity to reach the unreached at scale if together we focus on what could be the biggest domino. The one region that may present the greatest opportunity of being a gateway to reach the entire world. It comes down to the exponential power of numbers. 1 out of every 4 people alive right now live in South Asia. That's 1.9 billion people and over 1.8 billion unreached lives. That's a big number to wrap your head around, so let me just put it this way. If you set a timer right now for 1.8 million seconds, it would stop in 20 days. But if you set it for 1.8 billion seconds, it will stop in 57 years. Reaching just 1% of this region would be the equivalent of reaching more than the entire population of Hong Kong, New Zealand, Montreal, and Ireland combined. 50% of the world's remaining unreached people groups live in this region, along with 40% of the world's poorest people. And it's also one of the most persecuted places on the planet. The church in the global south, specifically South Asia, will play a disproportionate role in the evangelization of the world. Will we join them, support them, encourage them? Reaching this region is a massive gateway to reaching the world and a critical priority of the global church. It will require us to be all in. It will demand full-scale mobilization of our churches and communities. It will require a historic move of God's Spirit. It will come at a cost, but it will be worth it. And over the next 10 years, we are partnering with South Asians, not just to reach South Asia, but for South Asia to reach the world. It is well within reach to plant 50,000 churches, baptizing 500,000 multiplying disciples, making this one of the greatest evangelistic movements that we may ever see by 2030.
Sometimes it's hard to wrap our head around these big numbers. 50,000 churches by 2030, how is that even possible? We are thinking of churches of this magnitude or this size. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about house churches. People meet under tree, in under shed and consists of 12 to 15 members. And these 12 to 15 members go plant another 12 to 15 churches. 50,000 churches, our partner organizations, they are already into 30,000 churches. The head of the organization that we partner, he's an Indian. I asked him, how is this happening in the midst of persecution in North India? Their strategy is amazing. They have different methods in reaching out to the rural community and these unreached people groups in northern part of India. And God is doing great things. Yes, we believe in making disciples who make other disciples. That is what Jesus has called each one of us to do. Not just for the select few on the other side of the globe, but through each one of us here in Rocky Mountain House. We believe this is possible when we remain Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and mission-focused people. I know a man in the New Testament who was driven by a similar passion, Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 15, verse 20 says, "It has always been my ambition to preach gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation." This has been the burning passion of Christian Missionary Alliance from the very beginning. This is one thing that attracted me to the Alliance. I am new to Alliance. I've been part of the Alliance only for the last 2.5 years. But this burning passion for mission caught my attention, and God's plan and our desire intersected together. And I'm excited that we still have that burning passion. Christian Missionary Alliance founder A.B. Simpson's ministry to the new immigrants coming to the shores of New York caused him to wonder about the unreached masses throughout the world. It was then that he developed this unquenchable burden for worldwide evangelism. When we look at the two verses that is found in verses 17 through 19, we see Paul lived a Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and mission-focused life. This resulted in him reaching the unreached with the love of God. These three important aspects of the life of Paul equally applies to us. First, we are called to be Christ-centered in our life and ministry. Verse 17 and 18, Paul says, "Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus, my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done." Here, Paul is acknowledging that all he has done is in the strength of Jesus Christ. It is through his union with Jesus Christ that he was able to minister to others. Paul was the instrument. Christ was the force that produced the results. If we are serious about reaching the unreached, we need to be Christ-centered, Jesus-focused. "It is no longer I that lives," Paul says, "but Christ that lives in me." Death to self and life in Christ. The more I die, the more life of Jesus comes out of me. Apostle John says, "He must increase and I must decrease." The more Jaron is invisible, the more people can see Christ in and through me. Is your life centered in Jesus? Oh, the woman who comes, Mary, who comes in John chapter 12, that story always fascinates me. She comes and pours the expensive perfume on Jesus. It's a public display of intimacy there. I was reading through the passage just a few days before, and I was thinking, when was the last time I had a display of public affection, intimacy of Jesus? I just feel like we flex too much muscle and we contain our love for Jesus so that we would not offend anybody, so that we want to be politically correct. And I get so tired doing that. Don't we get tired doing that? You know, we think too much about what's around us. Yes, we love Jesus crazy, I'm sure. I mean, that's why you're here this morning. We are in mad love with Jesus. But how much effort we take to just polish that and be neutral and be okay, so that people wouldn't know that Jaron really loves Jesus, or he's just a decent guy. Oh, I pray that we would be a little reckless, abandoned for Jesus in the coming days. That our love for Him will just ooze and leak out of us. That people that we work with will know that this guy is mad in love with Jesus. That's exactly what Paul says here. The more I become small, Jesus becomes larger in our life. When we are in love with Jesus, it shows up. People will definitely see that. Let our life and ministry simply be an outflow of our union with Jesus Christ. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. Jesus makes it very clear in John chapter 15. Yes, apart from Me, you can do nothing. Oh yeah, we can do a lot of things with our education and our training and our intellect, but it amounts to nothing without Him. But at the same time, with Him, nothing is impossible. Everything is possible through Jesus. So the key is to stay connected with Him. The same sap that is running in the vine may run into the branches, which will automatically produce fruits. Oh, aren't we called to stay connected to the vine so that fruit will produce fruit that will last? Jesus wants our life and ministry to be centered around Him. So we need to be Christ-centered if we are serious about reaching our friends and our nations around us. Secondly, we are called to operate under the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be Spirit-empowered. Verse 19, first part, Paul says, it is by the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. Authentic gospel ministry depends on the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish God's work. The first sermon A.B. Simpson preached in New York City was from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That message was all about our need for the power of the Holy Spirit to reach the nations. He knew that this new assignment would not work if he tried to do it in his own strength. Brothers and sisters, let us be extremely clear about this. If we really want to see spiritually dead people come to life, it has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. Doing ministry in our own strength is depleting and dangerous. A.B. Simpson asked, have we forgotten that there is a Holy Ghost that we must insist upon walking on crutches when we might fly? He wants to accomplish the impossible through our lives, through His power, not in our strength. All we need to do this morning is to yield our life. We have no idea how much Jesus wants to fill and refill and anoint and strengthen us so that He can operate through this limited, frail, weak body for His glory. Maybe, you know, we quite often pray, God, fill me more of Your Spirit. Anoint me with Your strength. Maybe we should pray. We long for having more of the Holy Spirit. Maybe Holy Spirit should have more of us. There are still areas in Jaron's life that I resist. There are still areas in my life that needs to let go so that He can have complete control over me. I'm sure there's still areas in each one of our lives that the Spirit of the Lord would like to have more authority, more freedom. Finally, Apostle Paul says we are called to focus on God's mission. We need to be mission focused. Verse 19, second part says, so from Jerusalem all the way around Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Literally, it would read, I have brought to completion the gospel which began by other apostles in Jerusalem. It simply means that he has completed the purpose for which he was called into. Paul was completely focused on God's mission. It was Bob Pierce, the founder of World Vision. He prayed, let my heart be broken with things that breaks God's heart. What breaks our heart today? Is it all about me? Is it all about our family? The Spirit of the Lord is reminding us again and again that it is not all about me. Oh, I pray that our hearts would be broken with what breaks God's heart. God's heart is broken for the nations that are coming to Canada. God's heart is broken for our neighbors, our friends that we work with, our classmates that we study together. Did you know that by 2023, Canada aims to welcome more than 1.23 million new permanent residents? If you didn't know, right now there are over 165 unreached people groups right here in Canada. Countries that are close to the gospel, people are coming here, making Canada their home. What this means is that there is larger access for them to know Jesus, to make friends with each one of us. They are living among us. Did you know that Canada is the third best country in the world for international students? There are currently over 380,000 international students enrolled for higher education in Canada. In the last 5 years, there is a nearly 70% increase of international students. India is a country with most international students in Canada, of over 180,000 students. It's only going to increase. 90% of these international students who come to study in Canada will never enter a Canadian home. They want to make friends with Canadian families, but there is no opportunity for them. The other day I was talking to an international student and he said, I brought a lot of gifts from the country that he came to give it to new friends that he meet here. And he said, it's still in my box. And that broke my heart. I'm like, they're longing to make friends, to have coffee. They want to know about our culture. They want to know what Christmas is. They want to know what Thanksgiving is. Oh, I pray that God would open our eyes. I know there's not too many nations here. I know there's a good number of Filipinos here serving in different capacities here in Rocky Mountain House. Also happy to hear about a sister from India here in Rocky Mountain House. We thank you. I want to thank you for your love and care and support that you have extended. This church has extended towards her. I'm looking forward to meet her sometime today. But thank you for all that you do. But I wouldn't be surprised in the coming years, in the next five to 10 years, that I see more nations here in Rocky Mountain. Canada is exploding with new Canadians, new immigrants. Yes, while it's important and essential to reach the nations here in Canada, it is equally important to take the good news to people outside of Canada. Out of the 7.9 billion people alive in the world today, 3.28 billion of them live in unreached people groups with little or no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if the current numbers go as it is, by November 15, the world population will touch 8 billion. And there are approximately 17,446 unique people groups in the world with 7,400 of them considered unreached. That's around 42% of the world's population. Unreached population in the world. Out of the 7,400 unreached, 1,700 are unengaged. I mean, there is zero engagement. I mean, no churches, no Bibles, no known believers of Jesus in those areas. A majority of these people would never reach the West. For example, there are 1.8 billion Muslims in the world today. Only less than 5% come to the West. 5% of 1.8 billion is a lot of people. But the rest are not going to come. That's why it's important that we continue to send, we continue to go. Many a time we get flabbergasted by the awesomeness of the task and we do nothing. Let's not fall into the trap. Let's roll our sleeves and make a difference in somebody's life. If our ambition is like Apostle Paul to reach the unreached people with the gospel, then we need to be people who are Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and mission-focused. I believe the Spirit of the Lord is tapping on our shoulders, stirring our hearts, maybe to pray for someone you know personally. Or maybe God is calling you to respond to His call this morning. We can have a few responses. And I see these responses out in the foyer. Pray, go and give. Pray. And it's not even an option. Jesus makes it very clear in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. Pray ye therefore that God would send laborers into the harvest field. Pray for our international workers serving in different places. Pray that God would send new laborers into the harvest field. If you want to have a prayer for every day for different nations, you can download the Joshua Project app. Every day you will get a new people group to pray for. And you get the stats and numbers that will give you That'll give you a more informed way to pray for these people. Number two, go. I believe some of you listening to me are called to go. Would you step out in faith to make disciples of all nations? It could be reaching the nations here in Canada or abroad. Would you surrender your life to be used wherever, whatever Jesus calls you to do? Maybe your first step in that process is to get connected to our Rocky Mountain Alliance Church mission engagements. Maybe you should talk to Sister Becky, who leads the mission committee. If you sense God is calling you to reach nations outside of Canada, come and talk to me. I would love to pray with you and discern and maybe direct you to different options. Some of us may not be able to catch a plane and go to the other side of the globe, but you have an option to minister to South Asians sitting in your living room where you are here in Rocky Mountain. There's an opportunity to engage in digital mentoring program. We partner with Power to Change in India. They have a digital mentoring program where counselors here in Canada can connect with Indians in India. And you don't go hunting for them, but they come to your inbox. P2C trains you for that. And Power to Change have different methods to channelize the request of people. Like, for example, if they go to Google and type, I want to commit suicide, I have domestic violence, I'm going through depression, or whatever, like that will channelize them to the Power to Change channel, which will offer counseling. And these, you can be the counselor here. You don't have to be a psychologist, but you can connect, and through your experience and who Jesus is to you, gives you an opportunity to introduce him to these South Asians. Maybe you should watch this video, and we'll come back. That'll give you an idea of how you can engage in this digital mentoring program.
So the core of our digital strategies ministry is mentoring, or basically, Christians bringing people closer to Jesus through conversation. All this is done through our free and custom-built platform, TMM.io. We're training mentors to think like cross-cultural field missionaries and how to minister as such via email or online chat. Hopefully, this digital practice will transition to in-person conversations as well. Now to do so, we need to help our mentors understand the process people follow on their journey towards Christ, and understand how they can best join these people on that journey, whatever their spiritual background or spiritual state might be. This training is needed because Christians are challenged on how to share their faith fruitfully and effectively with people who are not from their own cultural or religious background. The understanding that evangelism is not a one-time event, or even the transmission of a specific type of theological content, is not intuitive. Therefore, our training is designed in a way that helps mentors understand that most of the time, sharing the gospel is simply coming alongside someone and journeying with them in a loving and compassionate manner. When we do this, opportunities to talk about how Jesus changes lives come up naturally. Evangelism is really about walking closely with Jesus ourselves in the power of the Holy Spirit and opening our hearts to others. It means caring enough about people to ask them questions, listen to their answers with love and compassion, all the while asking God to show us how to talk to them about life in Jesus in a way that helps them understand how Christ can change their life both right now and for eternity. We're helping our mentors understand that most people come to Christ in a gradual way by crossing specific spiritual thresholds with the help of Spirit-filled Christians. So where did this phrase, spiritual thresholds, come from? Well, for decades, missiologists have studied the process people follow that brings them to Jesus. They've realized that nearly...
If you need more information on this, you know, there is a website that I can direct you, or I can leave it with Becky, and they would be able to come. If you are interested in digital mentoring, you can even go to this website. That is through our partnership with the P2C. Golden opportunity. You don't have to catch a plane. You don't need to have visa, but you can still reach and connect with people on the other side of the globe. Great opportunity for us sitting here right in Rocky Mountain House. Another opportunity is through marketplace, like with your skills and talents. You might be a nurse or a teacher or a doctor or a carpenter or business person, whatever. You have the opportunity to go overseas, coming under our alliance, and we would be happy to support and send you as a marketplace international worker. Let's quickly watch this video. It's a short video, and that'll give you an overview.
The Alliance uses marketplace to describe all the places and spaces where we live our vocational lives, whether in Canada or in another country. In those places, we all represent and demonstrate God's kingdom as ambassadors of Christ. Marketplace is a pathway for people to use their profession around the world. We are continuing to fund and send full-time international workers. However, that approach is limited because of rising costs and countries increasingly restricting access. But the pathway is wide open for professionals of all types to gain employment in the global marketplace and thus bring the presence of Christ to the workplaces and communities where they work and live. The pathway is ready to help you engage this way of bringing Christ to the nations. You're invited to take who you are and what you do and use it for God's glory among those who have yet to meet Jesus.
So God is inviting us to pray, go, and finally give. I feel giving may be not so difficult as the other two. Become a monthly donor of Global Advance Fund, which will help our international workers to carry out what God has already entrusted them. And through Jaffrey Project, will help new projects to start, new areas that are unreached to the gospel. I would encourage each one of us to give towards the work of the Lord so that the name of Jesus will reach. Pray, go, and give. A few months ago, I met a Christ-centered, spirit-empowered, and mission-focused sister. Her name is Kamal from Calgary Punjabi Church. She was the first one to follow Jesus from a Sikh Punjabi family. Today, more than 120 members of her family follow Jesus Christ. Not just here in Canada, even back in India, people follow Jesus through one person. One person can make a huge difference. God is looking for disciples who make other disciples. And we cannot do it in our strength, but we can do it when we are Christ-centered, spirit-empowered, and mission-focused. Let's take a moment to close our eyes, look deep into our hearts, and with open hands, we can tell Him, Jesus, I don't know what You're doing with my life. I don't know the purpose and plans for me. God, I trust Your word, and I want to obey You, and I want to surrender my life to You. Maybe you're feeling a little tired today, feeling depleted, working in your own strength. The Spirit of the Lord wants to fill you afresh. He's our victor. He's our conqueror. And Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. No schemes of the enemy can prevail. He will push back the darkness, and His name would be lifted up and glorified. Father, I pray and bless Your people. Fill them afresh this morning. Especially pray for those of us who have committed their life and who sense Your calling to engage, whether in Canada or outside, reaching their friends in the hospitals, schools, here in the neighborhood. I pray that You would give them wisdom and resources and energy to carry out Your purposes. I bless this church in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Continue to make them a light to the nations. Oh, we see God, You raising them, raising many young people to touch the nations. Oh, we bless them in Your name. In Jesus' name I pray.